Let's talk to a firm favourite of mine. His name is Matthew Yeats and he's a quantitative investment manager at 7IM. Very good morning to you, young Matthew.
Good morning.
Right, let's talk about trade wars, the Fed, ECB. We've got 6 minutes on your soapbox, okay? What on earth is going on in the world? The volatility, okay, record highs in January, everything, everyone's smoking big cigars and it's reverse all engines.
Yeah, I mean, volatility. Okay, so first on the volatility point, I think it's volatility coming off an extremely low base. So I think the volatility that we've seen through February and now through March, again in kind of a second bout, seems high. And it is historically around average, probably, if you look beyond the extremely low level of volatility that we saw in 2017. But I think it's important to really distinguish between the two separate stories that I think are relevant to the two bouts of volatility that I think are somewhat distinct that we've had so far. So at the start of February, it was very much the Fed story. You mentioned the Fed, ECB, you know, central banks. I think the risk of inflation was really at the core of that story. You know, do corporate profits have the ability to withstand higher levels of interest rates? Now, I think it's really interesting when you look at the way that the interest rate curve moved during that period. It wasn't as much of a big move in the long end. OK, so your 10-year rates did move up, but certainly the real big force was in the shorter term expectations for interest rates. So really the 2-year, you know, in the US, this big flattening of the yield curve. Now, I think that tells you a couple of things. I think that tells you that the long-term economic picture remains relatively robust. And certainly, if you look at the economic data, still in the US is strong. Your momentum seems to have come off a little bit, but if you look at the historical baseline that that's coming from, it's still really, really good. You know, you had what was deemed a disappointing manufacturing PMI in Europe yesterday, and it's at 57. 57, unbelievably, you know, robust numbers. Now, yes, maybe this is the turning of that momentum somewhat, but I certainly still think that the underlying fundamentals for a good economic recovery are there. So when I see this recent bout of volatility, it really casts questions into my mind of what is causing it, you know, when the economic fundamentals are so strong. Now, I think, as we said at the start, the recent, and I said I would split it into two sell-offs, really, the one at the start of February and then the one in the last couple of weeks, the recent market volatility has really been linked to trade wars. Now, trade wars and Trump, you know, this populist agenda, this is something that we've seen so much from Trump. And the question comes to, you know, what is he actually going to deliver on when it comes to these trade tariffs? So there was this 1,000, this list of, you know, 1,000 products or so where there's up to a 25% levy on products.
Yep.
You know, is this going to start retaliatory action from China? Is this going to be the thing that unhinges company profits? Because remember, that is really what drives equity markets. You know, can companies continue to drive profits? And you look at that list and then when you really dig into the details, you think how much of this is actually going to get done? As with anything with Trump. So I think when you look at certain industries, so I saw this really interesting fact around the electrical goods. So electrical goods and electrical parts, you know, they started with this list of, okay, blanket 25% and all those parts, and then actually mobile phones are exempt.
Right.
When you look at mobile phones, of a portion of electrical imports from China into the US, that's 40% of that number.
Right.
So it's really Trump trying to balance this populist agenda of I'm out to protect American workers, but at the same time, I'm out to protect American consumers.
Yep.
Okay, price rises are at the forefront of the populist agenda when we're thinking about what can get done with these tariffs. You know, Trump wants to deliver this big thing that's going to bolster and make American industry stronger, but he doesn't want to kill the consumer off at the same time. When those two things balance out, you end up with pretty much no change. Does that justify the equity market sell-off we've seen? I don't think so. And when you look at the 60-day period, so the bill was announced yesterday, and now you have this 60-day period when people can lobby and make any changes or lobby for changes. And you look at the manufacturing base in the US, and they're going to be lobbying pretty hard. Of Trump's 2,700 or so people in his kind of administration, 200 of them are ex-lobbyists. You know, Trump's agenda or Trump's administration is one that is going to be very leaning to the lobby base. And I think the manufacturing lobby base are going to realise that this isn't all rosy, this isn't all good. You saw it with steel and steel tariffs in the US, for example. You know, these protectionist policies were put up against Chinese imports of steel. And then the actual impact of that was that steel prices rose. So American producers saw the opportunity to kind of push through price increases. So that actually ends up damaging the manufacturing sector. This is a sector that's roaring on all cylinders. You know, manufacturing PMIs in the US are at 60. You've got a tax cut that's coming through that's going to be a massive boon to the sector too. I think it's estimated around $270 billion over the next decade the tax cuts are worth to the manufacturing industry in the US. And do we need policies that are going to unsettle it? I don't think so. I think Trump's going to recognise that. I think Trump's going to recognise that what he can get done is very little in relation to the potential impact on the end consumer. And so I think as a result of that, this recent equity market sell-off looks overdone to me.
OK, so the million-dollar question. Somebody in the pub yesterday said, Moose, I've got £50,000 to invest in the stock markets. Where would you put it? And I said, I'll ask around. What would you do with that at the moment?
I think just being long the equity market in general from where we've come. I think if you look at regions of the world where I think valuations still look depressed versus long-term averages, you've got to look at Europe and you've got to see some real opportunities in Europe. As I said, the economic momentum looks like it's come off a little bit, but it's still, I mean, really hitting growth levels that we haven't seen before. I think Europe looks like a good bet on that basis. And I think there's a really interesting fact there that if you look at the VIX and you look at the V-stock, so measures of option implied volatility in the US and look at measures of option implied volatility in Europe, if you look at kind of better measures, so like 1 year forward option implied volatility, it actually costs less to hedge in volatility terms your European equity market risk than it does your US equity market risk over the next year. That tells you that the equity or the option market is pricing the potential for less volatility in Europe against a better globally strengthening economic backdrop without such a direct link to these Trump stories that we've talked about so far. You know, if you're tying a political risk premium to equity markets, and that's really what they're doing when they're tying in this trade war story and pricing in this trade war story, then suddenly actually Europe, unlike the last 10 years, doesn't look like the place where the equity risk premium from politics is the highest, as it is in the US. So I would say just be long the equity market in general, especially versus bonds at the moment.
Yep.
But I think regionally tilted slightly away from the US towards Europe as a good example, maybe EM as well.
On that note, young Matthew, brilliant stuff. We don't see you enough. Thank you for your time.